Hello, 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 geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome to yet another episode of Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. First of all, I wanted to say happy giant, mutant, man-sized bunny breaking into your house to somehow signify the resurrection of Christ Day. And I got a couple announcements to make. We are now, let's see, a week and a half out from the 1 year anniversary episode. I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. I think it should be interesting and fun. Like I said last episode, I have part-time co-host and YouTuber Jerry Hartman coming on, and I will also have the host of the Decibels Deep podcast, as well as the frontman and guitarist for the bands Entropy in Motion and Sasanya, a.k.a. Herrera, as a special guest as well. He'll be a newbie to the podcast, so it'll be interesting to get his perspective on things. I will also be having a new album coming out, the Direwolf Deluxe Edition. It's basically the original Direwolf EP, all the songs from that, as well as six brand new songs that kind of add to and end this Direwolf story, for now at least. And yes, this is a concept album, even though it's an instrumental without any lyrics or vocals. But it's still an instrument, or it's still a concept album. And that should be out sometime this coming week, so keep an eye out for that. And next week, or next weekend, there will not be a new episode until April 27th, which is when I will be releasing the anniversary episode, because we will be, the three of us will be recording the anniversary episode next Saturday. So there will not be a new episode until April 27th. But like I said, that should be a pretty interesting episode. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. And since today is Easter, I thought I'd do an episode on some Easter horror movies, which, yes, there are some. But just a word of forewarning, if you think about watching some of these, most of these are pretty fucking terrible, and shouldn't be considered good in any shape or form. There are a few that are decent that I'm going to talk about, but other than that, most of these are pretty fucking terrible. So if you watch them and realize how shitty they are and get angry about it, don't blame me. So let's get right into it with the first movie of this episode, and that is 1972's Night of the Lepus.
What happened that night? Science made its greatest mistake. What unknown terror was born that night? What is the terrifying mutant that strikes from behind the shroud of night? That night. That night. A night of total terror, more shattering than your strangest nightmare. What caused the unnatural death, destruction, and panic that night of the Lepus? Janet Leigh, Stuart Whitman, Rory Calhoun, and Paul Fix. Night of the Lepus. Kill one, and thousands take their place. What devil creatures growing weight and size every day are hidden behind the eyes of horror? What can stop them? Night of the Lepus. From MGM.
So I believe I might have talked about this movie in a previous episode back in season 2, I think, I'm not completely sure. And although this isn't really a Easter movie, you'll see why I'm talking about this in a second, if I haven't talked about this already. But anyway, rancher Cole Hillman seeks the help of college president Elgin Clark to combat thousands of rabbits that have invaded the area after their natural predators, coyotes, were killed off. Elgin asks for the assistance of researchers Roy and Jerry Bennett because they respect Cole's wish to avoid using cyanide to poison the rabbits. Roy proposes using hormones to disrupt the rabbit's breeding cycle and take some rabbits for experimentation. One is then injected with the new serum, believed to cause birth defects. However, the Bennett's daughter, Amanda, loves the injected rabbit, so she switches it with one from the control group. Amanda is then given an injected rabbit as a pet, but it soon escapes. While inspecting the rabbit's old burrowing areas, Cole and the Bennett's find a large, unusual animal track. Meanwhile, Cole's son, Jackie and Amanda go to a gold mine to visit Jackie's friend Billy, but find him missing. Jackie finds more of the animal tracks in Billy's shed, while Amanda goes into the mine and runs into an enormous rabbit with blood on its face. Screaming in terror, she runs away from the mine. Mutilated bodies then begin to crop up all around town, including those of Billy, a truck driver, and a family of four. Elgin, the Bennett's, Cole, and Cole's two ranch hands, Frank and Judd, go to the mine to try to kill the rabbits with explosives. As Elgin and Frank set charges on top of the mine, Roy and Cole enter the shaft to get pictorial evidence. Outside, a rabbit surfaces and attacks Judd before Jerry can shoot it. Roy and Cole then escape and the rabbits in the mine and run outside as the explosives are detonated. The explosives fail to kill the rabbits, however, and that night they attack Cole's ranch, killing Judd, while Cole, Frank, Jackie, and Cole's housekeeper Dorothy escape into the storm shelter. The rabbits then make their way to the general store, killing shopkeeper Mildred and eating and killing everyone else they find in the small town of Galanos before taking refuge in the building for the day. In the morning, Jerry and Amanda leave to avoid the coming press, but get stuck along a sandy stretch of road. Roy and Elgin update Sheriff Cody on the situation, and after realizing the rabbits have escaped the mine, call in the National Guard. As night falls, the rabbits leave Galanos to continue their rampage, making their way to the main town of Ajo and eating and killing everyone in their path. Cole proposes using a half-mile-wide stretch of electrified railroad track as a fence to contain and kill the rabbits, and they recruit a large group of people at a drive-in theater to help herd the rabbits with their car lights, with assistance from the machine gun fire of the National Guard. Thousands of rabbits then make their way into the trap, where they are shot and electrocuted, and as the film ends, Cole tells Roy that normal rabbits, as well as coyotes, have returned to the ranch. Being one of the better movies I'm going to talk about this episode, the whole premise of this thing is pretty ridiculous. And when watched today, it's kind of hard to believe that anybody might have actually been scared by this. Even though for a PG-rated movie, this does have a surprising amount of gore and blood. Much more than you would expect to ever be in a PG movie. But then again, those were different times. but this movie is pretty fucking ridiculous. I mean, the story, pretty much everything about it. And when you see these supposedly giant, cute rabbits hopping around miniature sets and destroying them, it's pretty fucking hilarious to watch. It's good for a laugh. And if you're really into B-movies, this is definitely one for you. But if you just aren't able... to wrap your mind around the concept of this movie, this is one you should probably skip, especially if you're a giant lover of rabbits. Even if they are giant rabbits, you should probably avoid this one. But like I said, there is a pretty good amount of blood and gore for a PG-rated movie. It's has become a cult classic over the years, and rightfully so. Like I said, it's not the best movie in the world, but it is pretty entertaining. IMDb gave this a 4.1 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes an 8%, Letterboxd a 2.5 out of 5, and I give it a 3.3 out of 5. Next up, we have 2004's Peter Rottentail.
Magician from the party.
Oh, here we go. Get Peter the Great is taking a dirt nap, cuz.
No, man, I swear it was Emily. He had some weird mask on.
I remember you. You were a partier or something when I was a kid. You were a mime or something.
Hey, grown ass, I'm a magician.
Demonic slave kind of sucks. Whoa, look out! Demon with a carrot!
Whatever.
They won't forget me.
Directed by the Poliana brothers. The movie is about a mission about a magician trying to make ends meet, taken to performing at children's birthday parties, where his terrible magic goes down like a lead balloon. Embarrassed, he runs into a mysterious man who offers him a vial of liquid that he promises will turn him into the best magician ever. Obviously skeptical, the magician takes the vial and goes to his next party, where he is humiliated once again when one of his tricks goes horribly wrong. Desperate to win the kids over, he decides to drink the liquid, but nothing happens. It appears as though the stranger was lying and the magician has had enough. So he shoots himself dead in front of all these little kids at a birthday party. Many years later, his story has fallen into legend, even though who the fuck knows why, and the kids from the party have all grown up. It's time for revenge, however, as a magician is reanimated as Peter Rottentail, a bunny suit wearing killer who sets about killing all who humiliated him when he was alive. Now, I mentioned that this was directed by the Poliana brothers, who are known for making some pretty trashy, absolutely basement budgeted, shitty horror movies, and this is one of their better ones. Even though that's really not saying much, the acting is fucking god-awful by everybody involved. And the special effects suck. There's the gore effects are obviously just cherry syrup. And most of the deaths occur off-screen. But this is a pretty bad movie. It's not one that I can recommend that you ever watch unless you're really curious to see how low-budget movies shouldn't be made. But it's pretty god-awful. The first time I watched this, which was years ago, I made it through about the first 10 minutes before I turned it off. And then when I was rewatching it for this episode, it literally took me another three times before I could sit through the entire thing. It's that bad. And this is also way too long for what it is, for as bad as it is. It's kind of a chore to sit through, cause it gets pretty boring after a while. And this really isn't a story that we haven't seen done a million times over before, just done shittier, I guess is the best way to put it. Oh, also, when the magician is resurrected and comes back in this shitty rabbit costume, he does this really fucking annoying laugh, which you heard in the preview that I played before I started talking about this. And it gets really annoying when you hear it throughout the rest of the movie. And plus, you can barely understand what he's saying when he talks, because it's so distorted. And they try to make it sound cutesy, I guess. is the best way to put it, but it really just distorts what the actor is saying, even though I'm sure it's not really anything important because this movie just fucking sucks. IMDb surprisingly gave it a 3.2 out of 10. It didn't even chart on Rotten Tomatoes. Letterboxd gave it an even more surprising 2.4 out of 5. And I give it a half a star out of 5. Next up, we have 2005's Serial Rabbit. I'm not going to dive too deep into what this one's about because the story is pretty basic. While it's the first of four movies that would, it's the first of four movies, three sequels would follow. And while this isn't that great, this is probably the best out of the batch. So if you're going to watch any of the four, this is probably the one you should watch, even though it's really not that great. But anyway, every year on Easter, a brutal serial killer stalks Texas searching for victims lacking spiritual awareness. This year, the serial killer has found Austin's hottest new rave and a slew of new victims, and the survivors must fight their way to survive until the next morning. Now, the first thing I'm going to address about this movie is its low budget. It's about the lowest of low budget movies you can get. I mean, it looks like it was basically shot with someone's cell phone camera. That's pretty much how bad it is. It works every now and then, but for the most part, it just kind of distracts from everything that's going on, and it's just not done very well. I think it actually had a budget of like $180 altogether. So it's not really surprising how this movie turned out. But let me just say that a serial killer in a full-on bunny costume, fur from head to toe and floppy ears, with the Wolverine-style knuckle-based claw knife, which I will give this movie credit for, is an original thing. It's just outrageously funny. It's like watching Harvey, but directed by Brian De Palma. De Palma, with a budget of $180. And watching Peter Cottontail hop down the murder trail, it kind of goes between wildly funny, unnerving, and just plain balls out sad, especially when you find out what got him into the rabbit suit in the first place. The ending, however, leaves much to be desired. Only vaguely related to the events preceding it, it's got to be a dark sign when the writer and director have to issue a statement in film apologizing for the contents of the film. And when it comes to the acting, I mean, it's not great, but it's probably much better than this movie deserved. It's not unwatchable, I guess, is the best way to put it. IMDb gave us a 5.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, a 5%. Letterboxd, a 1.5 out of 5. And I give it... I give it a generous 2.2 out of 5. Next up, we have 2014's god-awful Beaster Day. Here comes Peter Cotton Hell.
At a time, you to broaden your front office up.
Mr. Mayor, what are you going to do about all the wild animal attacks that have been going on?
Wild animal attacks? More like wild rumors, man. It's just a few farm tool accidents, that's all.
Mr. Mayor, how does an electric brake put a body 20 feet into a tree?
Are you a physicist, man? It's just one of those science things, man, that nobody knows. It's like the last number of pi or how they get the stuffing in those Twinkies, man. It's just unanswerable.
Oh, darling, what's wrong? Did you see a spider?
I saw a severed foot.
Or maybe someone just lost it.
People are being killed by something in the woods. In the last several days, we've had 5 separate massacres, including the Amish.
And what about the other people? Are they Democrats or Republicans?
What do you plan on doing about Roger?
Well, I don't know, Doug. What do you expect me to do about Roger?
Soon, my friends. Once men started marrying men, that was it. It wasn't meteors that killed the dinosaur. They all turned gay.
If you couldn't tell by how I introduced this is another fucking movie I completely despise, so I'm not going to get into it very much. Actually, I believe I might have talked about this once again in an earlier episode, so if I did, you already know. But anyway... The mayor of a small town, which is being terrorized by a bloodthirsty Easter bunny, refuses to act. The kills start to pile up when the Beaster bunny starts to crave more human flesh. It is then up to a dumb-witted dog catcher and a wannabe actress to save the town. The townsfolk are confused by the origins of this evil bunny, and its history remains a mystery. Attacks are growing more gruesome by the minute, and time is running out for the small town, and they must figure out a way to defeat this stupid fucking Easter bunny. So, everything about this movie sucks. There is not one redeeming moment for it. It's just really shouldn't be watched by anybody, and I'm so sorry that I had to watch it. I had tried to watch it at least once before when it was on Tubi, I believe it was, or maybe it was Netflix, I don't remember, one of the fucking two. And, I mean, it's just really fucking hard to sit through. It's that bad. There is some gore, but it's very poorly done. The acting by pretty much everybody involved with this is just atrocious, even though there might be one or two that didn't do so bad. And the story itself just has very little plot to it, and not a whole lot of it makes any sense. I don't even think the writers even really wanted to write this and had no idea what to do with it. And the bunny itself, if you can call it that, it doesn't even look like a bunny. It looks like a cross between a drowned rat or... I don't even know what the fuck to call it. Like, a skull-faced dog, I guess. It's quite obviously a puppet or a marionette. And it's not done very well at all. Everything about this movie just fucking sucks. And I highly recommend that you don't even attempt to watch this piece of shit. IMDb gave it a 3.1 out of 10. Didn't even chart on Rotten Tomatoes. Letterboxd gave it a 1.7 out of 5, and I give it a 0 out of 5. Next up, we have 2014's Easter Casket, and I couldn't find a trailer for this at all. So I'm just going to get right into the movie proper. Easter Casket tells the story of Peter Cottontail, also known as the Easter Bunny, who has been summoned because the Catholic Church is planning on removing all the bunny and egg symbolism from Easter. The holiday is about Christ, after all, and they want to make sure people remember that. Peter Cottontail is understandably not very happy about this, so he goes on a murderous rampage with the aim of being a god. All while cracking wise in a way that would have Freddy Krueger saying it might be just a little too much. Perhaps what's most surprising about this movie is it actually has a lot of depth to it. You kind of have to sit through it and dig through it to realize this, but it does have a surprising amount of depth to it. And all the wild characters, interlinking plot points, and the Easter Bunny himself make for an incredibly entertaining watch. Even though the Easter Bunny, who was quote-unquote the real Easter Bunny summoned for the purpose of this movie, pretty much looks like... I'm thinking of trying to how to describe this. He really doesn't look like the Easter Bunny. He looks like a bad high school mascot llama. That's pretty much what he looks like, at least to me. If you watch this, I'm sure you'll understand what I mean by that. But this isn't a horrible movie. I expected it to be a lot worse, and it really is. I mean, it's by no means like watching a Shakespearean movie or play, but it's a lot better than it deserves to be. Let's just put it that way. IMDb gave this a 5.7 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes a 25%, Letterboxd a 3.1 out of 5, and I give it a 3.5 out of 5. Moving right along, next up we have 2006's Easter Bunny Kill Kill.
And in this house, 7 people will die at the hands of a masked maniac. Meet Nicholas. He's a very special boy.
How retarded is he?
He's not retarded!
And this is his favorite time of year. He's just wild about Easter. But something sinister is lurking just around the corner.
If it wasn't for her mongoloid son, I think I'd be smiling from ear to ear.
You have a retarded boy with you?
Someone special is coming to play with you, dummy.
This is another one that I'm pretty sure that I've talked about before. If I have, oh well, you're going to listen to me talk about it again. Anyway, the movie opens with the night before Easter, where a lowlife named Remington dons an Easter Bunny mask and robs a convenience store with a shotgun, shooting a clerk in the mouth. Remington is then revealed to have charmed his way into the life of widow Mindy Peters, a nurse who lives with her cerebral palsy-afflicted son Nicholas, who Remington torments when Mindy is not around. While taking out the garbage, Nicholas befriends a disfigured vagrant who gives him a rabbit he claims is the Easter Bunny. Since Easter is Nicholas's favorite time of the year, Nicholas decides to keep the rabbit a secret, but it is discovered by Remington, who threatens to kill it if Nicholas says anything bad about him to Mindy. On Easter, Mindy has to work a double shift, so she leaves Nicholas alone with Remington. after the latter kicks out some unscrupulous home renovators. As soon as Mindy leaves, Remington assaults Nicholas and calls over a physically disabled and pedophilic acquaintance named Ray, who he quote-unquote rents Nicholas out to in exchange for money and drugs. Remington then leaves to go get prostitutes, and while Ray searches for Nicholas, someone wearing Remington's discarded Easter Bunny mask murders him with a knife and a drill. As the killer disposes of Ray's body, the renovators return to pick up their tools and ransack the house. The killer then disembowels one with a circular saw and wounds another with a hammer as the remaining one is approached by the vagrant. Remington then arrives back home with a pair of prostitutes named Candy and Brooke, and they are attacked by the injured and disoriented handyman, who Remington kills with a flashlight, and the killer as well. Candy is impaled through the mouth with a broomstick handle, and Brooke is stabbed with a piece of glass, and Remington has his throat slit. The killer is shown to be Mindy, who taunts Remington as he dies, stating, "I hid and watched, and I saw how you treated Nicholas. I heard every venomous word that spewed through your deceitful mouth until I ended it, just like his father." A flashback then shows that exactly a decade prior, Mindy set Donald, her abusive husband, on fire because he regarded Nicholas as a retard. The homeless man then enters and is revealed to be Donald, who asks for forgiveness and acceptance back into the family, unveiling to Mindy and Nicholas the head of a renovator he had murdered to help Mindy. The three hug, and as the film ends, Donald says, "Now, what do you say we clean up these dead bodies and start a family, huh?" Basically a throwback to the old grindhouse movies of the 70s. This one is one of the better films that I'm going to talk about, that I've talked about this episode. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before. But this is one of the best that I'm going to talk about. It's not a movie for the squeamish, as there is a good deal of pretty brutal gore in it, that even made me squirm once or twice, even though a lot of it is shot in dark areas, so it's not easy to see, but the kills are pretty brutal and gory. The identity of the killer doesn't really come as a surprise. It's not hard to figure out who the killer is. But there is a pretty creepy scene with the pedo, when he comes over to the house and is trying to find Nicholas. I mean, it's just really fucking creepy. And Remington is played by Trent Haga, who some listeners may or may not know, played Killjoy in Full Moon's, Killjoy franchise from the second movie on. He's probably the best actor in this, even though his acting skills aren't that great, but he's by far the best actor in this. Even though some people don't do that bad of a job, the acting isn't that great, but it's definitely one you should see if you come across it. Just like I said, keep in mind that it's pretty brutal and pretty gory. But I found myself liking it and reliking it again upon rewatch for this episode. IMDb gave this a 4.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, a fucking surprising 100%. Letterboxd, 3 out of 5. And I give it a 4.2 out of 5. Next up is 2019's Rotten Tail.
No one in or out until Project MR is complete.
I don't have any projects called MR.
I can't really talk about it because it's top secret. Find out how to make more of these things ASAP.
Yes, sir. Hey, how are you? You're going to send help.
Send everyone.
It's not Peter anymore. It's Rotten Tail now.
I am a rabbit man. I mean, not like a rabbit man, but a rabbit man.
There is no such thing as a bunny man.
Are you ready to see the Easter Bunny, kids?
Yes! Yeah!
Phil,
story.
Look at that! It's still blood coming out!
Peter Conan is a meek fertility researcher, and the military believes that his genetic work can be used to create super soldiers. When one of his genetically engineered rabbits bites him, Conan is transformed into Rotten Tail. He returns to his hometown of Easter Falls on Holy Saturday and begins to take revenge on everyone who bullied and wronged him. He eventually starts pursuing the girl who rejected him as a teen, and tries to get her to fall in love with his freakish form. And, well, you'll have to see what... This is one that I'm not going to spoil all that much. Because you just kind of have to see it to believe what actually happens. But it's based on the graphic novel of the same name, and is also known as Cottontail. Again, this isn't the world's best movie. But it's another one of the good ones that I'm talking about this episode. There is a shitload of gore in this. Basically just blood. But it flies pretty freely. The special effects aren't terrific. They're probably... I don't know how to describe it. But they're not the best. But they're better than some of the movies I've talked about this episode. But anyway, the acting is decent for the most part. My biggest complaint, though, is that when Peter transforms into Rotten Tail, he tells a bunch of stupid jokes that really don't work. And he has a habit of laughing at his own jokes, which is definitely annoying. But I guess if nobody else is going to laugh, you have to laugh yourself. But that's my biggest complaint about it. But it's a decent watch. And if you come across it, you definitely should see it. I believe it's streaming for free on Amazon Video. But I think that's really the only place you can find it unless you buy it. Unless you buy a physical copy or a digital copy. But... Yeah, I think that's really the only place you can find it is Amazon Video. IMDb gave it a 3.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes of 17%. Letterboxd of 3 out of 5. And I give it a 4 out of 5. And for the final movie of this episode, we have 2014's Easter Sunday.
It was an idyllic day. Until Douglas Fisher returned from the dead.
Call a paramedic!
To resume his reign of terror.
What are you doing in my daddy's church?
No one is safe on Easter Sunday. Sheriff Arkin killed Douglas Fisher once before. But will he be able to save the day? Stopping this bunny mass menace once and for all on Easter Sunday.
Together we shall get our vengeance!
Evil is lurking.
On Easter Sunday!
Easter Sunday. You're invited to witness the nightmare that takes place on Jeremy Todd Moorhead film.
It has been 24 years since the deranged serial killer Douglas Fisher was executed by police on Easter night, and his gruesome story has become somewhat of a terrifying urban legend. Then, during a drunken campfire ritual, a group of teens accidentally conjured the spirit of Douglas Fisher, aka the Bunny Mass Killer. Unless they can stop him before midnight on Easter, the evil bunny slasher will tear their town and everyone in it to fucking pieces. So lock your doors and hide, because in your Easter because the town folks are about to find out that there's going to be blood in their Easter baskets this Easter. Well, this is basically just your generic run-of-the-mill slasher. It's not completely terrible, although it is a pretty bad movie. It does have a little bit of badly done gore. But it does have some cult classic actors such as Ari Lemon, who played Jason at the very end scene in the first Friday the 13th, and Robert Zadar in, I believe this might have been his last performance, or at least one of them, but he was in all the Maniac Cop movies and a couple other horror movies that have gone on to be cult classics. I can't say that this is going to be a cult classic itself. It might be eventually, but I really don't think it's good or slash bad enough to become a cult classic. It's bad, don't get me wrong. The acting is pretty terrible by almost everybody involved. But it's not one of the worst movies I've talked about on this episode. It's kind of hard to find. I have a copy of it for some reason. I'm not really sure. A physical copy. I don't even remember how I got it. But I'm not sure if it's on any streaming services or not. If anything, if you're interested in watching this, I'd look at Amazon Video, because that's probably where you're going to find it. IMDb gave this a 5 out of 10. Letterboxd at 25%. Rotten Tomatoes at 25%. Letterboxd at 2 out of 5. And I give it a 2.2 out of 5. And that just about wraps it up for today. As always, you can reach me at darksyde9034 at gmail.com. And that, just a reminder, there will not be another new episode until April 27th. So I'll see you guys in a week and a half. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you in a week and a half.